With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, college football fans across the nation and around the world. This is Tim May with the Tim May Podcast. And as usual, I'm joined in the cockpit of this magnificent flying aircraft by none other than co-pilot. You know him as Awesome, but I call him Awesome Ward. Awesome, welcome back to the Tim May Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. And it was great to see you live and in color in the Covelli Center on Monday. What a treat for us to get to go back to a live and in-person press conference.
Kind of like a trip back to yesteryear, back to the future, so to speak, you know. But you and I are going to talk about that in a minute. You can't really go back and fix a lot of things, but Ohio State and the state of Ohio, State Senator Niraj Antani from the 6th District has introduced legislation that's going to allow Ohio State, other state and private schools within the state to now take advantage of name, image, and likeness rights for their student athletes. That was the press conference on Monday when it was introduced. You know, we've had a little bit of time to think about things, but it is a moment in time to kind of mark, right?
Yeah, and one that was probably way overdue for several different reasons. Just in the small window, you had so many other states across the country. I think 39 of them had put something forward, if not in place by July 1, at least knowing that they were moving in that direction, at least introduced legislation. And you're left to wonder, well, is Ohio going to do this or not? Because I think that athletics are pretty important in this state. And if you're going to compete in the NCAA against, I don't know, Alabama or Georgia or anywhere else in the South that had already advanced some of this stuff to put in place by the summer, you can't afford to fall behind with even one recruiting class. You know, that could be very detrimental to your program. So,
yeah.
Also from the big picture of, as Gene Smith alluded to on Monday, you know, 20 years ago was the first time like, well, maybe we need to think about this. And NCAA just kept kicking the can down the road and down the road. And then here we are at this point where they're like, oh my gosh, we have 6 weeks to do this. So both I think are overdue for student athletes to be able to take advantage here. And I think it's the right thing to do. We'll see exactly how the state of Ohio, I should say, wants this to work compared to Georgia, Florida, California, the NCAA, Anthony Gonzalez, whoever else. There's still so many people that want to be involved in what the end result is, but this is at least an important starting step for the Buckeye State.
And it's interesting, as State Senator Antani referred to it as emergency legislation, meaning so it could be enacted by July 1, even though, like you said, there have been decades building up to this. You know, I think he's one of those who finally got tired of hearing people, watching people kick the can down the road. That's really, the, you know, I was a former student at Ohio State, part of the student government. And he basically said, you know, enough time. I mean, you know, it's time to do it. I mean, I think he understands the urgency involved from the standpoint of, like you said, if Florida, a lot of these other states are enacting it by July 1 or August 1. It's definitely going to be used as a recruiting tool for the big state universities there, the ones that are involved year in and year out in the elite level of major college football and basketball. So, you know, it's either, as the old saying goes, you know what, or get off, you know, and move on, let somebody else do it. And lead, follow, get the hell out of the way, I think is the way Jim Truman, founder of Red Roof Inns, used to put it. And that's exactly what Ohio is doing now. And I thought it was extremely telling that not only is Ohio State behind this, but that Gene Smith was at the press conference to announce it, because he was on that steering committee that the NCAA enacted, what, 2.5 years ago, 2019, to look into this, to get this going. And here we are 2 years later, and it still isn't a piece of policy by the NCAA. They were, you know, I'll give them credit. And my guest coming on in a minute to kind of really get into the details of some of this stuff and the ramifications that are coming, attorney Luke Fedlam, you know, I've had him on my podcast a few other times, and we talked about this in depth a couple of times already. But bottom line is, everybody was sort of waiting for the national government, the federal government, to enact something so that you don't have a hodgepodge of different legislations out there that maybe you can get away with this in this state, but you can't get away with it in that state. Like Georgia, it's talking about an escrow account or something for student athletes that they could enjoy after their eligibility is done, trying to stay under that NCAA amateur umbrella, but still letting them benefit. I mean, you know, that's not going to fly with somebody who's letting you have that, you know, those $500 or those $5,000 right now. Well, after a 15-day waiting period, Luke Fedelin and I talk about that too. And it's interesting. He has an interesting take on that. You know, you catch a touchdown pass 1 week and you're a superhero and somebody wants to give you $10,000 to represent them. And the next week you drop the winning touchdown pass against Michigan, that your 15-day window has gone open and closed all in a matter of an instant. But yeah, there are all kinds of things that minutia that need to be looked at in this, but it's just, in my opinion, just glad to see this glacier kind of pick up steam.
Yeah, I don't want to steal Luke Fedlam's thunder about this at all, but because that's coming. But there are several parts of that you look at and you're comparing states or even just looking at Ohio's bill and you wonder, well, would this hold up to any scrutiny? I asked the state senator directly about, you know, the prohibition on gambling, tobacco, marijuana, and alcohol.
Yeah.
For a 21-year-old, which is not everybody, I'm not sure how you could keep them from endorsing those things as an adult who can consume them, especially if we're trending by the end of this year for gambling to be legalized in this state. Obviously, alcohol already is, and tobacco. Several chances, you know, that around the country, at least, that marijuana is. So I think that, you know, whether people agree with that or not, morality, you know, that I'm not arguing that one way or the other. I wonder, is that going to hold up to any kind of challenge for how you could keep a 21-year-old for doing that, especially if they're playing for a college like, you know, Colorado Buffaloes already have a deal with the gambling company. Ohio State itself has a deal with Coors Light and their partnership. They're moving forward and they sell it in the Horseshoe. So those things that you're working forward, they're trying to push this through on the emergency basis. You know, I wonder, that's why it's good to have a lawyer on who can explain that, because to me,
yeah,
I thought it'd be difficult to uphold some of those restrictions.
That will be the first challenge. I do believe someone will come along and, you know, and want an athlete to say, forget Coors Light. Hey, man, drink Bud Light. You know what I mean? I mean, that's natural, right? And busting through something to do it. I mean, that's John Madden. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that will be the first challenge, I think, to come along. Because if something is legal in your state and you're of age, you know, why can't you promote it? And so that's interesting to me, too, though. But, you know, the NFL has rules and regulations about what its players can and cannot be part of. And that's on the pro level. So that's why coming down the road, the NCAA, when it finally gets around to passing this, a similar kind of like rules package for this, it's going to be interesting to see what's in it. But, you know, if you still want to belong to the NCAA and play under the auspices of the NCAA, you will have to follow their rules. That's, you know, and if you don't and you still want to do a beer commercial, well, good for you. Well, you know, go, you know, you're playing for the Columbus Matadors or something, some amateur team out there or semi-pro team. Good luck with that. You know, we've all seen how far a star falls when it moves away from the galaxy that is major college football and the big time schools that are involved.
Yeah, I think that if anyone's not sure, Maurice Claret is still around to pick up his phone and let you know.
Exactly. But, you know, without further ado, let's get to my conversation with attorney Luke Fedelin, who I always enjoy bringing on here. And like I said, he's been studying this, you know, for really going on decades and is quite the expert in it and has seen this glacier pick up motion now. And, you know, once a glacier starts moving, you know, pretty soon you've got global warming and whatever, who knows where we're going, right? But without further ado, here's Luke Fedelin. As promised, ladies and gentlemen, to get a reaction to this proposed legislation by State Senator Niraj Antani from the 6th District of Ohio, I'm bringing back on my own expert, Luke Fedelin, attorney Luke Fedelin, who's been on my podcast a couple of times already to talk about this name, image, and likeness, the buildup to it, the reason there's been a push by some states to go ahead and get it done, even though the NCAA is still balked, the federal government or federal House of Representatives, et cetera, has still not gotten there with it. the push is on, and the glacier, it is a moving, right, Luke?
Oh, the glacier is definitely moving. And July 1st, you know, there are a lot of things that we can control in life. Time is not one of those things. July 1st is going to be here. And that's when we know at least six states as of right now are going to have their name, image, and likeness laws going into effect.
And I think this is, you know, as Senator Antani said, I mean, he didn't say it, but I'm paraphrasing. That's why you got to get with the program now, right? I mean, basically this is emergency legislation is the way he's looking at it, to get it approved and where these guys and gals can start taking advantage of it by July 1. I mean, you know, just real quickly, are you impressed by this now that someone has stepped to the plate and thrown this fastball?
Well, listen, I think, I won't say that I'm impressed.
Well, let me interrupt you. Stepped onto the mound and thrown this fastball. I said he stepped on the plate. Now go ahead.
Yes, right. I mean, I think there are a couple of things. One, it's proposed legislation. Two, it still has to be voted and signed into law. But also on top of that, listen, we have known, and I know I give all of our elected officials all the grace that I can give, because we've been dealing with, you know, a new administration at the federal level. We've been dealing with COVID, all these things. But we have known that July 1st, that Florida, when Florida kind of made the move to July 1st, that really set the date that, hey, other states, we got to do something. So I think it's great to see this here in Ohio because it's needed. And I think it's needed for the schools in Ohio to be able to compete from a recruiting perspective and a retention perspective. Don't forget, right? Transfer portal rules that if student athletes in schools in Ohio feel like they can go to another state and now they have the ability to have that one-time transfer without sitting out, it's big. So yes, it was very important that the state got on board with it.
Now this is sort of like the start of the Kentucky Derby, but the horses are coming from different gates around Churchill Downs. They're not just coming out of the same gate, but they all want to get to the same starting line. In fact, that's the correct, it may be the finish line, but it's really the starting line that's really been building up for decades. Right. And you've been on top of this, Luke, and I'm just wondering in general, the legislation, as you know, proposed by Senator Antani, in essence, you know, frees these student athletes up to go pursue different contracts, et cetera, with different people, allows them to have representation. As you and I have talked on this podcast before, that's vital to have somebody in your corner that knows what you're signing. It has a 15-day, for want of another term, moratorium or grace period when you enter into a contract before it can take effect. So it gives the schools a chance to review it, for want of another term, to see if there's any conflict with an existing contract that they have with somebody. And I'm just wondering, just in general of those things I just pointed out, what would be your concern looking at it?
Well, I tell you, I think a lot of what you just mentioned is what we've seen commonly across other states that have passed legislation, especially legislation that's going into effect this summer. But the proof is in the pudding, or rather the details of all of this and the nuances between states, the differences, that's where we really want to spend some time. So the idea of being able to hire or engage with advisors, counsel, attorneys, agents, whatever, that's pretty common. The ability to, make money off of your name, image, and likeness, you know, without being stopped by the schools or the association, that's also common. One of the things that does stick out that's a little bit different with Ohio is this 15-day kind of period that you mentioned, where they'll have to submit whatever contracts, or before signing a contract, they would have to take 15 days so the school can review it. It's interesting because there's two sides to that story, right? And the way it's presented in terms of, hey, this gives the school the opportunity to review, you know, what a student athlete is signing or what they're engaging in. Critically important, right? We want to help make sure that student athletes aren't taken advantage of. But let's not forget the flip side of that coin, right? Which is to say that there are some student athletes, and we know, right? You and I, you know, we've talked, Tim, about the elite of the elite athletes. They're going to have all these opportunities, you know, that are going to exist out there. We know that. But for those other athletes who maybe, you know, don't have a lot of opportunities in terms of their athletic performance, but they just so happen, let's say, to have an amazing play, right, that happens to make SportsCenter top 10, right? And they have this finite period of time, this window, where people want to engage with them or potentially use that video or, you know, be able to, maximize the moment. And 15 days, we know in sports, 15 minutes might be too long, let alone 15 days, right? So that's one that causes me to, you know, wonder a little bit. But I think, you know, to your point earlier, there's still a long way to go in kind of all of this and seeing what things finally look like. But that's one of the things that I think stuck out to me a little bit as being a bit different than what we're seeing necessarily in some other states.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, like a receiver can make this ridiculous great catch in the back of the end zone and win a game, you know, and immediately, you know, could have a deal or two coming his way. And before that gets finalized, he could drop a winning touchdown pass against Michigan, you know, Nobody wants to see that. You know, I saw that happen with a head coach at Ohio State, you know, but I won't name his name, but it was pretty amazing how quickly the mob turns, if you follow my drift. You know, the other thing though is, but you as a, I would call you an advocate for this, right? You've been an advocate for this. And by that, I mean, an advocate who's also an expert. You've kept up with things that are going on in the different states. So for example, I think in Georgia's legislation, they're talking about possibly making it an escrow account, you know, or not escrow. What's the word?
Basically, I mean, for lack of a better term, escrow makes sense,
yeah,
right? They'll create like a trust or some
trust form of account. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'm not sure how that's going to fly, you know, because most people want, they're not looking past tomorrow. They're looking for where can I go and spend my money tonight, you know? But, you know, are you glad finally to see this happening? And do you expect it to be a rush now from several other states? I mean, no matter what the NCAA does or doesn't get done by July 1.
Well, you know, it's a really good question. That's why you get paid the big bucks, Tim. I think it's a little bit more complex, right? In the sense that I was happy to see when California first passed this bill 206 into law, they made it go into effect in 2023 saying, hey, student athletes are going to be able to be, you know, compensated for the use of their name, image, and likeness. And this, I was very happy to see that, right? Because I'm not talking about pay for play or, hey, just because you're on a team, you get to get compensated, you get to make money, right? No, but it's this idea of equality and fairness that if you have the ability to go, you know, get a marketing deal or an endorsement deal or some other way, be able to make money like your non-athlete, you know, student counterparts at school can do and have been able to do, then you should be able to do that. So that is what excites me about this move. What has been, I think, scary for all who have been following this is really just how this has kind of all fallen apart and or been lost over the last kind of year and a half, 2 years. We knew that once one state passed this into law, that this was going to have to be something to be dealt with. Yeah. And so we know that the NCAA had its working group. So granted, obviously, the beginning of the year, the Department of Justice kind of put the brakes on that. We've got us, you know, we're still waiting on the Supreme Court to come out with their decision in a particular case, NCAA versus Alston, that may or may not impact this. But the idea that we have multiple states now, right, that are all coming out with their own, you know, name, image, and likeness legislation that really creates this patchwork quilt of name, image, and likeness rights, right? Like we said, you know, earlier, the general consensus is, yes, student athletes, we're going to pass these legislations so we don't lose out on recruiting. And student athletes can, yes, start to earn money off of their name, image, and likeness. But the unique differences, that in and of itself will create recruiting, you know, advantages and disadvantages, right? Yep. So from that perspective, I think it's I think many people are happy to see this and happy to see that states are getting on board. I think what is going to happen from states all kind of getting on board with this and passing this type of emergency or quick legislation is we're going to see one of two things or both, likely both. I think the federal government is going to come out with federal legislation in the very near future that is going to be balanced between what we've seen come out from you know, some on the more kind of liberal side of granting student athletes all the rights and all the opportunities to do things and others, you know, that are on the conservative side that say maybe are more in favor of the NCAA's rights and all of this. So I think we're going to see some balanced legislation. Had some conversations with some folks about this that I think we're going to see that come out relatively soon. And we know that the NCAA is meeting again later in June, 22nd, 23rd of June. And having some conversation where they may actually take up voting on name, image, and likeness at that meeting. So this, what we're seeing right now is a requirement. The state of Ohio had to come out with some legislation just to hedge the possibility of losing potential recruits, you know, as well as losing potential existing student athletes to the transfer portal in order to compete with the other states that have passed legislation and that are also in the process of passing legislation.
Yeah, man, the pump station on that transfer portal is just getting revved up. You know, you can almost hear it.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you a question. You know, you're immersed in the law. I mean, you're an expert. Well, at least you claim to be an expert. I'm messing with you.
I was going to say, I'm glad that you called me an expert. I'll take it. I'm just somebody that's out here that cares about what he does and tries to do the right thing.
Luke, why does there have to be legislation? Why does there have to be a law either on the state or federal level for this to happen? Why couldn't, like, well, the NCAA could have come out years ago and said, okay, you know, you can do all this stuff. I mean, or Ohio State could have said, you know what, to heck with the NCAA, we're going to let our guys have name, image, and likeness rights, et cetera. Explain to people why there needs to be a law. I mean, when you think of all the laws on the books, you know, this is like just saying, sort of like saying the sun is hot. Yes, the sun is hot. You may take advantage of the sun. Go ahead now.
Yeah. So it's a really good question. It really comes from the fact that the NCAA didn't do anything, right? Yeah. I mean, the NCAA has had years where they could have said, hey, student athletes, you're not going to get paid to play, but if you want to go out there, if you have the opportunity for somebody to pay you some money, go do it, right? As long as it follows our rules. They could have done that over the past number of decades. They didn't. So ultimately, it took a state saying, hey, we're going to make this law, and that was California. We're going to make this law to say, you know, our law is going to supersede the NCAA rules, right? So therefore, this is going to make a change. That being said, when you now think about it, it's like, okay, so if one state does it, then another state does it, and they do something a little different, and another. Now it's just like, okay, federal government, like you've got to get involved here for a couple reasons. And I'll be balanced in this analysis, right? I mean, the federal government is going to need to be involved even just to protect the NCAA. If the NCAA is going to continue to exist as it is today, right? Because otherwise, there's going to have to be preemption. There's going to have to be protection from the various state laws. Otherwise, we're not going to have this common operating association, you know, where there's balance and equity among the competition. Ohio State or any other school at any time could say, we're going to leave the NCAA, right? But if they do that, who are they competing against? Yeah. Because for championships, the NCAA is responsible for the championships, right? And then the conferences are going to decide, well, if you're not a part of the NCAA, are you really a part of our conference? And so, you know, could you see that? And I know this is a conversation for a whole other podcast, but something we could see that would be along those lines is if, what if, you know, Power Five football programs, just the football program said, hey, instead of being under the NCAA, we're going to be under College Football Playoff or some other, you know, organization that's going to set the rules just for football because the NCAA is not responsible for the football championship anymore. So, you know, this could happen or this could have happened over the past years. It just hasn't happened. And therefore, in the absence of that, once one state stepped in, now everybody has to step in and deal with it.
And, you know, what Gene Smith pointed out, you know, in the press conference we attended with Senator Antani and him. And I think it was interesting that Gene Smith was there, you know, I mean, meaning Ohio State is behind this all the way. That there was a move way back in 2001 to get something going on name, image, and likeness. But as he pointed out, the members, many of the members, I'm talking about the NCAA, were not interested, you know, just kept pushing it off the burner until now, all of a sudden, you know, for want of another term, a little bit of a grease fire going on here, you know, the stove. Yeah. The stove has been building up, and there's a little bit of a grease fire going here. And I, you know, I give Gene Smith and Ohio State, I give them credit for stepping up there. I don't know about you. Where do you fall on that? Go ahead.
Well, I do. I do give them credit. Absolutely. I mean, I think, and what I love about the way Gene approaches it is he's really thoughtful, right? He's been part of the national, you know, kind of working group. He's part of the legislative working group. Like, he's thoughtful in terms of both. How do we protect the institution and the NCAA, but also give our student athletes who come to Ohio State because of the opportunities, right? I mean, Ohio State sells the opportunities in recruiting. So, you know, how do we also make sure we provide them with opportunities? But I'll say one thing, 2001, you bring that up. Think about how different things are right now, 20 years later, right? Because 20 years ago, and you know, I was early, I just kind of started in my career and social media wasn't a thing, right? So when you think about student athletes and possibly getting compensated back then, we're not talking about what we're talking about now. Now we're talking about situations where a student athlete who isn't necessarily the elite of the elite, but who has a following or who you know does something that goes viral. I don't know when that phrase started, but I know it was after 2001.
Yeah.
Right? When those things happen, those student athletes, right, who maybe aren't the big, the quarterbacks, the star basketball players or whatever, right? They're the ones now that can say, hey, I did something really cool and people want to associate their brand with me. And now I can make some money, even if that's sending out some social media posts or what have you. So I think it really is a different time now. And I think it is most definitely the right time to come up with what the solution is for allowing student athletes to earn this compensation.
Yeah. And, you know, the bottom line is either way, it's, you know, it's going to promote them and their brand. I'm talking about the student athlete, whether it's an Ohio State football player or a, you know, Ohio State women's hockey player. Like I had Tatum Skaggs on, outgoing senior. She wasn't really on that much on board with this idea because she thinks, you know, getting a scholarship and the benefits she's gotten from Ohio State were pretty damn good, you know, looking back on it, you know. And we're looking at, I mean, I think most people are looking at it on how the high profile guy like a Justin Fields or Trey Sermon last year after the Northwestern game or a big time basketball player is going to benefit. And then really the ones who could really benefit from this based on going from zero to 60, you know, as opposed to 60 to 90, might be these what they call Olympic sport athletes, right? I mean, who can get a little deal here and there.
Absolutely. And the thing is that a lot of times people will think about name, image, and likeness as getting a deal or getting a marketing opportunity. And that, yes, that is included and that's part of it. But the other part of it is that student athletes can start to do other things, right? If you have the ability to, you know, sing music, right? Or design clothes or do these other things, right? Write a book or what have you. Like you're able to then earn compensation for that talent that you have that may have nothing to do with your sport, but it's just that you're also really good at diving or synchronized swimming or basketball or whatever that pistol, whatever that might be. So this name, image, and likeness is so much more than just the endorsement deals. And that's why I think it's important for student athletes.
Yeah, the pistol team. I wish I could be on that team, man.
Right.
Did you come fully loaded today? But no, you're exactly right. I mean, you know, they could have a deal with Remington, you know, I mean, right on down the line, you could see the possibilities and you just point out they could teach at camps and be remunerated, say that three times, over and above maybe just, you know, the expense to get there and back. I mean, you know, people, when they trade on that person being there, that's trading on their name, image, or likeness. And it's, yeah, there are all kinds of ways these Olympic sport, for one of another term, which we all know the, what was the skier's name? Bodie. Anyway, also played football, I think, at Colorado and wanted to trade on, like you're talking about, the endorsements he got for being an Olympic skier, which had nothing to do with him being a football player, and was denied that, you know. I mean, that person now can trade on that, you know. And everybody wants to look back in the past now and remember Braxton Miller had that deal with one of those mail-in order things or whatever, where you could get online and order shampoo or whatever, you know what I mean? Those kind of things. Those will all be legal now too, right? I mean, basically. But everybody wants to look back now and look at how everybody got messed over. But as I like to say, you know, that's the price, you know, that you pay to get to this point, right? I mean, right. Can't really be too retrospective on this when you got everything ahead of you.
That's right. And I think, you know, part of it is we have to remember, right, that school, colleges, universities, they're also there to prepare their students, all their students, athletes, non-athletes alike, right, for life after college, right, whatever that may entail. And when you think about it, for student athletes to actually now be in this place where I can learn some of these skills, I can learn the business side of all this while I'm still in school. I've got professors in the business school, you know, for marketing, digital storytelling, whatever. I've got, you know, outside experts that are coming in and talking to us about this business side. I've got, you know, all this. It creates this environment that we're also helping student athletes who may otherwise not care about a business course now be really interested in it, because now I can see how this applies to me today. I can leave this class with some information now that I can put to use for myself today. And I think when we think about just kind of the overall utility of education and the importance of education, I think that part can't be lost in all of this as well.
Yeah. You know, and Gene Smith brought that up during the press conference about how you can, you know, don't just be looking for that quick buck necessarily for a soda drink commercial or something like that. You can have hookups with, like, if you're into like medical research, or you can have hookups with companies now that they can possibly pay you a stipend and kind of promotes them, but it also gets you a hookup for down the road, 10, 15 years from now, that can get you in your foot in the door, right? I mean, that's what you're talking about.
Internships, jobs, shadowing. And that's one of the things when we talk to student athletes, it's like, hey, listen, when name, image, and likeness is here, part of it's going to be thinking about how does this impact, you know, my career planning? How does this impact life after school, right? We talk a lot about decision-making, the importance of decision-making. And when you think about that, I mean, now it's like, okay, you meet a brand because they want to somehow associate with you. Well, what about having the conversation around, okay, shadowing opportunities, internship opportunities, right? You know, being able to understand how I could potentially do this once I graduate or whatnot. Those kind of things, those are opportunities that are going to be there. However, let's also, I don't want it to come across to your listeners, because I know you've got some intelligent listeners on this. I don't want it to come across like, hey, this is all going to be, you know, sunshine and roses, right? Like, we also know that there, and that's why Ohio State wants to have, you know, strategy around, or the state legislature wants to have strategy around how does this legislation work to protect student athletes? Because there will be people who want to come in and, you know, find ways around the rules or try to take advantage of student athletes or benefit off of the student athlete, you know, to the student athlete's detriment. That's going to exist as well. And so we got to be mindful of that.
And it goes back, you know, like we were talking about a while ago, the 15-day rule, which may preclude you from getting an immediate benefit from making a great catch in the falling into the left field stands, you know, but also could protect you, you know. And I'm interested to see how they really do. You and I talked about this on an earlier podcast, how they really do, in essence, protect them, how far they can go without, number one, breaking this law, you know what I mean? But then also helping them make the right choices. And the way it was kind of portrayed in the press conference is it's more of like just giving advice, I mean, steering and advice. And of course, if you go ahead and make a deal with a company or something that goes against some of the things that are laid down in terms of conflict with the university or something like that, you know, they would still have, I think, the right to, if you want to go ahead and go with it, you know, to preclude, to keep you from competing and or revoking your scholarship, whatever it takes, you know. But like they said, none of this is going to like take away from the value of your scholarship, which I think is also just as important. If you're, whether you're making $10,000 a year or $100,000 a year out of one of these things, it's not going to change the value of your scholarship. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And it's good to kind of hear that. The other piece I think that's a big challenge in all of this is how do you monitor it?
Yeah.
Right? Like really, and that's one that I know the NCAA is struggling with. I know schools are struggling with because they're looking to the NCAA for some guidance. And then, you know, we've got the federal, you know, there have been various federal bills that have been, you know, brought forward that talk about different organizations, either governmental organizations or others, being created to help oversee and monitor this. So let's think about this. During that 15-day period that they talk about in the proposed legislation here in Ohio, that 15 days, is a school going to be able to look at that and say, hey, this is really a bad deal for you? Like, this doesn't work. Like, you should not sign this, right? Because they're not going to go down that path because of the liability exposure to their organizations, to their institutions. So it's really going to be more of, we want to make sure we have this on file and we want to make sure that it checks our boxes, as in it doesn't conflict with one of our existing sponsors or what have you. So let's be honest. And maybe that time, right, will then allow a student athlete to seek some outside guidance and understanding as to whether or not, you know, what are the pros and cons, the risks associated with signing that agreement? Because the school is not going to be able to say, oh, yes, you should do this, or no, don't do this deal, right? Yeah. Unless it, you know, obviously violates one of their, you know, kind of one of their requirements.
Yeah. Hey, last thing I wanted to ask you, you know, I'm not sure we're looking at a free cars for all, you know, kind of situation. Who knows? Could be, whatever. Give me your sense, because you and I talked about this before. There probably will be a great flurry when this July 1 in these states that are opening the doors to this, but it'll settle down, right? I think it'll settle, the marketplace will settle it down. Because final analysis, businesses aren't going to just give you money just for the fun of it. You know, they have to see a return one way or the other to help their bottom line. But what do you anticipate, like, just an Ohio State starting quarterback, for example, won't name names. What do you anticipate them really realizing from something like this? Luke, I know you've thought about it a little bit. You don't necessarily, you maybe give me a ballpark figure, but more of what should they expect, I guess? How many knocks on the door should they expect?
Yeah, the one thing I think that's important is when you're analyzing this kind of stuff, there's really two pieces that are very important that play into answering that question. One is the platform, the actual school itself, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, Ohio State has a following, has a brand that has incredible value. And then on the flip side, you've got the actual athlete themselves, right? And so whatever school it is, beyond Ohio State, if we're talking about Akron, if we're talking about Kentucky, if we're talking about Alabama, whatever the school is, there's going to be this combination of what is the school's platform that, that they're kind of giving to the student athlete? And then what is that athlete doing and whatnot? For when you think, when you bring up the question about a quarterback, it all comes back to performance, right? Because if you're building it based on, hey, what could a student athlete make based on their, you know, based on their brand, their name, image, and likeness, a lot of it's going to be on performance. Cause like you said earlier, right? If you're stinking up the field, if you're stinking up the game and not really doing it, fans will let you know, as we've seen, right? Which is a whole other component to name, image, and likeness that's going to be playing a role. And so our brand's going to want to associate necessarily, right?
Yeah.
So to give you just a straight kind of answer is difficult. What I can say, though, is most analysts have said for starting quarterbacks at large, you know, we're talking about big programs like an Ohio State, like a Clemson and beyond, you know, then quarterbacks that are performing and are, you know, potentially competing for Heisman, et cetera, they could very easily be in that $1 million range in terms of, you know, earning potential for off the field name, image, and likeness type of deals. What is interesting, and I don't want to get too crazy down a rabbit hole, though, is when we talk about athletes and pick any, let's, if we want to stick with football, if you pick any projected first round pick in an NFL draft and you kind of go back a year where it's like, hey, this is probably their last year, then they're going to go pro. You can pretty much look at that and say, okay, we can figure out what their marketing opportunities will be once they go pro. And so with that, we could say, okay, now bring that forward a year, right? While they're still in school. And in that regard, you could start to see that, that the numbers can add up pretty quick, especially yeah. for when it's based on an athlete and their performance, their name and brand recognition as a performer on the field or on the basketball court. We're going to see, because we have enough data to show what a first round basketball pick could expect in, you know, first year marketing endorsement deals, what a first round football player could expect in marketing opportunities. That's going to be interesting, and it'll be very interesting. And this is some of my kind of legal brain who deals with this at the pro level and will likely get involved, you know, at the college level too, is at the pro level, you have a lot of players who get marketing advances as soon as they declare for the draft. So if you get a marketing advance, right, because we know that you're going to get this, you're going to earn this, you know, over the next whatever year, 2 years or what have you. Does that start to play a role now, right? In at the college level, where are they going to, you know, thinking about federal legislation or thinking about NCAA rulemaking, are they going to allow for athletes to get an advance on marketing? That's for marketing that they don't even do. So now it's like a check in the pocket of an athlete who actually hasn't done anything because it's an advance on what their future are going to earn. So yeah. A lot of questions that I think will have to play out, but you are absolutely right, Tim. This next 6 months to a year is going to be filled with a lot of questions, potentially chaos in terms of figuring everything out. But I think at a certain point, it'll right size itself. But I think it's going to take a while to get there.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that day when, let's say, big time basketball player Jim Bob Shotmaker shows up late for practice. Coach goes, where have you been? Well, the photo shoot ran long. We had some delays. I'm waiting for that first thing to, you know, we talked about a glacier moving. I'm waiting for the avalanche. You know, this is an interesting time, you know. Urban Meyer, you know, he was more interested in going to the NFL, I think he was, than going back to college. And a lot of it was because of what's coming down the road. It is an interesting truck coming down the road, isn't it?
It is. And it's going to affect everybody. It's going to affect schools and institutions. It's going to affect athletic administrators. Most definitely going to affect compliance. obviously it's going to affect your student athletes. It's going to affect coaches too. And let's not forget the parents as well, right? Because parents oftentimes are one of the first people that student athletes will turn to say, hey, what should I do here? And parents are going to need to get this education as well. So yeah, there's a lot going on, and it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Well, I know one thing. I know who I'm going to call for advice. It's going to be better call Luke Fedlam. Luke Fedlam, I really appreciate this, man. You've immersed yourself in this for years. It's finally coming into fruition locally, at least in terms of Ohio State. And, man, I love having an expert like you come on the Tim May podcast.
Hey, Tim, man, listen, I always love coming on. Anytime you need me, just let me know, man. Yeah, I like the work you're doing. Keep it up.
Thank you, my man.
Absolutely. Take care.
You know, awesome. As attorney Luke Fedlam pointed out in that conversation, you know, there are a lot of questions that have been answered, but there are a lot more questions coming down the road with all this. You know, I just keep thinking back to the podcast I had with Jack Sawyer last year, opted not to play high school football because of his senior year because of the COVID situation. We saw him in the spring, man. I mean, if he could have gotten an endorsement deal right after the spring game, you know, he might be ahead of the quarterbacks right now. But he was talking about this on my podcast about how name, image, and likeness, the ability to make money and build your brand, and more than anything else, build your brand at Ohio State, was already on his mind when he was in high school. I mean, it's not like a lot of these student athletes are going to be brought kicking and screaming into this. You know, them and their families and maybe some of their, advisors have already been talking about this, and they're probably ready to pounce as soon as this thing, if in fact this thing gets passed and is enacted by July 1, they're ready to move on it.
And I would say that Ohio State has been preparing for this inevitability for a while, even if it's only specific to the football program. Whereas, you know, I think you and I both have known Gene Smith long enough to say he wasn't gung-ho the whole time about moving in this direction, still never wanted schools to be paying the athletes directly, which is obviously the major conflict between the NCAA and name, image, and likeness, was that they didn't want to be, you know, walking down that path. But
yeah,
the football program itself, you know, it knows what its competitors are up to. They helped set the standard in some respects with the Brand U, program that Sammy Silverman was doing for a long time and getting that ball rolling and helping these guys set up their, you know, social media accounts and incorporating logos and brainstorming ideas for what they may want to do, whether it's clothing line or, whatever Sam Hubbard is up to with his professional, you know, desires and goals and degrees. And, you know, all these guys had that available to them. Now it's not just something that they can kick around in theory. It will go directly into practice and will be part of them being on flyers to go sign autographs or
sure,
come hang out with us at Roosters or whatever else. But, so Ohio State has known, specific in the football program and basketball maybe to a lesser extent, that this was something that they had to be prepared for, because if you just had 6 weeks notice, you're going to be way behind. I think the writing has been on the wall long enough to know that you had to embrace this or else you weren't going to be able to compete anymore.
Do you think a 15-piece order of wings will be enough to satisfy their situation when they want to come on the Roosters live show with you guys, or maybe come on my podcast? What do you think? What do you think we're looking at here?
Well, I would love to find out how many wings some of these offensive linemen who have no real caloric restrictions. Let's see what they can come down to do, because I know Nicole Cox will take care of whatever they want to eat, whenever they're ready, whenever we're allowed to welcome them in. I feel pretty comfortable saying that they will have as many wings available as they could possibly eat.
My wife's go-to, she likes the Caesar salad sometimes with chicken on it. I like the, what's it called, the Red Rooster salad with extra egg and bacon. Bottom line is, I think the chicken quesadilla there is to die for. I'm not just doing a commercial. My point is, they're going to be young men who are going to be asked to do commercials. I can see a deal, for example, of the whole starting offensive line getting a deal. You know what I mean? Remember like the Hogs the Washington Football Club used to be the Redskins, you know, when they were all famous and stuff, going out together, doing different deals. We saw the Chicago Bears way back in 85, you know, the Chicago Shuffle or whatever that was called. And right on down the line, you can see all the possibilities coming. But I'm interested to get your take on this. Can we talk about this briefly after the press conference on Monday that featured Senator Antani and Athletic Director Gene Smith, is I think there's going to be a flurry of activity to begin with as companies try to get maybe involved or causes try to get involved. And by flurry, I mean maybe for a year or two till the dust settles and companies try to realize what benefit am I getting from this deal with this athlete, you know, or these athletes. But you do, don't you expect the same thing?
Yeah, so I think I may be in the minority with this perspective. And I don't know every business owner across the country. I don't know everyone in Columbus. I know a few that are pretty heavily involved with Ohio State. And I think that it's the impact of this in terms of what it means for recruiting or even a freshman, sophomore breakout. I think that it to alter the competitive landscape, I don't think that that is what we're talking. I don't think that's a realistic outcome or a real concern. I don't believe the people that I've been around are going to start throwing around $1 million for an 18-year-old kid who may or may not sign with a program. The flip side is, and this is, I think, what you're getting to, where the flurry initially, we've seen Phil Knight with Oregon. We've seen
T. Boone Pickens with
Oklahoma State. We've seen Maryland to a lesser extent with Under Armour try to, put this huge influx of cash to try and upgrade a program and make it more competitive. And the results have been different. Oregon can sustain it permanently because of Phil Knight. Maybe Oklahoma State could have, but there's a limit to what you can buy and how appealing that will still be if you can't provide everything else that comes with consistently playing for a championship, getting to the NFL, high-level coaching. I think it's not proven that it works to just drop a bunch of money and then, boom, you're an instant contender. So that's why this helps the people who are already established, in my opinion, and it won't change the competitive landscape. Ohio State and Alabama and Clemson, Texas, they're in position to capitalize on this the way nobody else really is. And they're all in, it's not that they're just going to rely solely on booster cash, which is, may help and it may tip a few recruitments, but by and large, businesses are not going to want to be involved with the high school players. And they're not going to want to be involved with the entire football roster even.
Right.
So that's, I think, the other part of this that you brought up, and I'll tag out to you on that. Like, Chicago is not going to suddenly turn Northwestern into a contender. There's still more people, even before Justin Fields became a Bear, that knew who he was in Chicago or Atlanta than care about Northwestern football or Georgia Tech football.
Wait a minute. Northwestern is Chicago's Big Ten team. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can call they can call themselves that if they want to, but it won't make it true. And so I just don't – that's been the other part of it is – our big city's going to turn, some of these programs into contenders overnight. And
no.
Just because Vanderbilt is in Nashville doesn't mean that it's suddenly going to become more profitable or productive for somebody to go play for the Commodores.
Some of the parts of the legislation and some of the rules are going to be coming in the NCAA is if someone is a recognized booster of your program, of your college, of your university or your athletics program, that may preclude them from having a deal with a player that's separate from their deal. It would have to obviously be separate, but then they said there would have to be conversations then because they don't want the player deal possibly cutting into their deal. I mean, you can understand that. That makes common sense, makes total sense. But here's what attorney Luke Fedlin pointed out too. I mean, when do you go, like if you're a big time major corporation, when do you go from recognizing Justin Fields a year ago as to what he's going to be worth to you if you hook up with him into his pro career? It would behoove you to maybe get a deal with him going into his last year in college, which could be carry him on into the pro career. I mean, see, all these things, everything sounds really good until you really get into the minutia. And they're all going. It's all going to come down to the cash involved. Like Luke Fedlin said, what he's seen in some research is, a starting quarterback at a big time school theoretically could be worth about $1 million. When you think about what they possibly could make if the season goes the right way, if their stats go the right way, all these things that we haven't seen yet. That's why I'm thinking there's going to be a flurry until everything kind of settles. And then you kind of go, a company goes, well, wait a minute, this really wasn't worth it to have a deal with the Hogs. You know, let's just go for the big time guy. You know, you may see two or three guys benefit and everybody else, like you said, sitting there hoping for a handout in the locker room before practice starts. If in fact that player has shown up from his photo shoot before practice starts, I'm telling you, you can see it coming, man.
And again, you're making a great point about it, Tim, is that nobody knows for sure. You know, my hypothesis here could be wrong.
Yeah.
It might make sense to buy up the whole roster and do that every year and be heavily involved in recruiting.
But the point you're making, I'm interrupting. I know people get mad at me, but your point you're making is this. You should have the right to have a name, image, and likeness. You should have a right to pursue that is basically what this is about, right?
Right. The athletes should have that, and the market should be able to decide that. No one's going to force Byers Auto to strike up a deal with the quarterback, and you know, that's not going to be how this works. And you may well have businesses in, I don't know, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, that are more willing to make those deals. That could happen. I don't know, but all those people became successful for a reason. And it's not because they were just willing to flush away money.
Yeah.
You know, that's not how you build a successful business. So I think that that's important to keep in mind, is that I know that I've been asked about this a number of times, and so have you, Tim, that this must mean that the sky is falling on the NCAA and amateurism, and none of this stuff is going to ever be the same again. The recruiting is going to be upside down. And I don't think that it will change anything on the competitive landscape other than it will benefit the student athletes, and it may entice them to stay longer. If somebody is on the fence about, you know, wanting to declare for the NFL draft and they put in 3 or 4 years, hey, you know, rather than take the gamble on that and go into a camp, there may be an opportunity where you have a sure thing by sticking around. You may be more marketable wearing scarlet and gray or crimson and cream or whatever else. I mean, that may be what tips some of it for the athletes, but again, that they should have always had the option for that, in my opinion, and now they will. But in terms of five-star recruitments and some schools only getting it, guess what? Only six of them are doing it right now.
Yeah.
That's not going to change because those six brands are about to become even more lucrative.
Yes, they are. I mean, people love a winner, and that goes for businesses. They love being associated with a winner, whatever it takes. And, you know, the thing is, you can get a better deal probably if you associate yourself with – starting quarterback A, or you know, you think it's going to be A. I think it might be B or C. No, I'm just joking. I won't get into that.
That's a different.
But you may get more bang for your buck being associated with starting quarterback A than doing a deal with the university. You know, that's where we're really going with this. I mean, follow the money is what's going to be all about. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me interrupt.
I'm talking about on the big time level. Go ahead.
But the, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the person who was most marketable for Ohio State was not their starting quarterback. It was Tate Martell because of, you know, being on the Netflix series, because of his huge social media following, some of it organic, some of it purchased, doesn't matter. The place where there's the most opportunity for these players, and this is why it doesn't apply to just football, is their social media account. The amount that you can make, you know, selling a sponsored post on Instagram and Twitter for some of these, you know, people that have huge followings, that's massive. I mean, that's why Cardale Jones is still doing it. If you have a Twitter feed and you haven't seen Cardale eating Chipotle or, you know, doing a number of other things, he's got 1 million Twitter followers. He has an account and a reach that is incredibly valuable. And not every kid is going to have that.
Right.
But sometimes you'll see it with student athletes who've built that up for whatever reason. Maybe it's they make good jokes. Maybe they crack music. Maybe they do funny TikToks. You know, I don't know. It none of it all makes sense to me. I'm getting past that window of knowing what makes something viral and whatever. But you know, that's where a volleyball player or a golf athlete could be on even footing and could strike a deal just to sell social media posts. So
yeah,
that's something that would have been a massive benefit for Tate Martell. You know, Justin Fields, as soon as he became an Ohio State quarterback or a five-star quarterback, even at Georgia, you know, his followers started growing, but that's where I think you'll see, you know, the biggest benefit for them.
Agreed.
Social media and not, you know, a car dealership and not a booster, not this stuff. That I don't believe that those businesses will be as involved as social media aspects.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think you can become a personality. I mean, like you said, an attractive person. I mean, Drew Chrisman flipping his water bottles, you know, yeah, and everything yeah. that brought. I mean, no, that's what's great about this is like we talked about the non-revenue sports. Yeah, the Olympic sports, whatever you call them. They can do the same thing. Tatum Skaggs, I had her on my podcast here several weeks ago, you know, former basically completed her hockey career at Ohio State, was a really good personality, you know, attractive. I mean, everything you want. I mean, great spokesman. And she could have, but she was like, sort of like not really that on board with the name, image, and likeness thing because she thought what she got from Ohio State basically compensated for what she gave Ohio State, you know, I mean, talking about from a scholarship and things like that. So, you know, everybody, even the athletes are going to have different looks at this. Some of them aren't going to want to be selling out to, not selling out's the wrong term, but being affiliated with something just for the quick buck, et cetera. But you're right. It allows like a, you know, BB. I mean, what kind of money could he have made at Ohio State with that cowboy hat on and BB Landers? You know, and just his personality just was bubbling, and whether he ever gets a shot in the NFL remains to be seen. But at that time in his life, when he was really, I think, a great, attractive personality and a guy you were interested in hearing from, no matter whether he was starting or what he was doing, he lost that shot. But the guys coming up now will get that shot.
Yeah. And, you know, the part that they will have to be on guard for, like, this is pretty out of left field, but there's a new Disney Plus series, the one with John Stamos, where he's coaching basketball and high school girls. One of the storylines is a player has a massive Instagram following. She gets a deal with a makeup company or something. I don't remember exactly what it is. And then that company gets looped into some like exploitive labor situation. Well, that reflects poorly on the kid. You have to make smart deals. Okay.
Yeah.
That was a very bad way of segueing into this, although I just saw that and been watching it with Allie, and
great example
pops into my mind, because one thing that both, you know, Gene Smith and the state senator were talking about was education about what you're going to do, because you may well have 10, 20, 100 people reaching out to do social media ads or to come do an appearance around Columbus or Tuscaloosa or Knoxville or wherever. Well, not only does Ohio State secretly want you to protect their brand, but if you want to be a future NFL player, you know, still want to keep your spot on the roster, well, you don't want to be dealing with some of this outside stuff because you made a bad decision to take that money. So that's the part of it. Now, again, great that the student athletes get to make that decision for themselves. They should. But with that now becomes the responsibility of managing it correctly. And I'm not saying that they can or can't. But you know that there's going to be, you know, ad campaigns that might reflect poorly on someone who takes part of it. That's, again, probably why it was in this bill that they didn't want them to be involved with some of the stuff that's moral gray area for people. You know, I certainly understand that, at least from the university perspective. But, you know, those are the things that now come into play. That's the next wave of this. How do you manage your time if somebody wants to do an appearance and you need to be at a, you know, 6 a.m. lift session. These are adult responsibilities that are now going to be on their plate, which they should be. Again, should be.
Yeah.
But now you have to figure out how to do that on your own.
Yeah. I mean, and there are going to be stumbles, man. There are going to be stumbles along the way. I can just see, though, you know, April 14th next year, you know, this Real Life Wednesday brought to you by TurboTax, you know, because, you know, like Gene said, I mean, these guys have even done a tax return in their life. And you know, watch out how complicated you make your life, man, because somebody's always watching, and they have audit capabilities, but I digress. I'm just, you know, you and I talk about, we sat there and talked to an assistant coach at Ohio State one time in the hall, just talking about that very thing, you know, hey coach, sorry, I'm late. You know, I had a photo shoot that ran long, you know, now what do you do if he's your star? You know, what happens? All the, you know, that's why Urban Meyer's, I talked to Luke Fedlin, that's why Urban Meyer's at the Jacksonville Jaguars and probably not at the University of Texas. I mean, you know.
Not probably.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Probably exactly the reason. Probably exactly almost. But, yeah, I mean, these coaches, I mean, Ryan Day, man, you know, you think he's got an easy, cushy job. No, no way. And it's going to get tougher. But you know what? Appreciate you coming on again. Awesome. Flying this airplane. We're about to come in for our landing. Anything else you want to get off your mind before we touch down?
I was just going to say, I think that that's one reason why you might have seen, if you had asked coaches, would you rather give them everyone on your roster $10, $15, $20,000 and make them employees? Or would you rather have them all have this open market? I think in this case, you would have seen them all say, give me that $15,000 and control over their time,
yep,
rather than all the other things that this now opens up. But, you know, again, that's restrictive. The NCAA has been losing that fight for a long time. It wasn't going to be able to hold up any longer, and they didn't want the – there's also tax implications for everybody involved if you do that. So this is a way that maybe the universities are able to maintain what they've built and established for so long, is a way for student-athletes to because, again, this applies to not just football and basketball, but all those Olympic sports and everything else where there's an opportunity for them. And frankly, they couldn't afford – to give 35 sports $10,000 to $15,000 and every single person, that was not ever going to be feasible for them, or the whole enterprise collapses on itself. But
yeah,
you know, we'll still see. I think you said it's, you still got to get to July 1. You still have to have everybody agree to this. The NCAA is going to be involved at some point. They say July 1. We've covered this organization long enough to be skeptical of that, but at least I think, as the other point that you made, which is important, is that Gene Smith was part of this. Clearly Ohio State is behind it and working for a solution. I hope that they get one, and we don't have to, you know, worry about whether this should or shouldn't happen in their perspective. And they can just all finally agree that it should and figure out the best way forward from here.
Yeah. It is interesting that the NCAA is going to skate out of this, maintaining the fact that, you're a student athlete, we're giving you tuition, room, books and board, and cost of attendance stipend. I wonder if that's going to go away though for people who make a lot of money. That'll be the next thing that probably come up. But and you're still an amateur, but you can work for these other people. You know what I mean? So they don't even, Ohio State can keep all that off the books, and you know, you can go work for these other people. You're an employee of theirs, but you're just a student athlete for us. That's kind of what's coming down. And yeah, you know, I think everybody will be happy. We know they won't be, but it is what it is at this point. But you know, with that said, I've got three green lights on the landing gear. I don't know why I keep using these airplane analogies. I just
it's like in it. Your blood, man. You love it.
I just like it. But we've already landed. We're coasting into the taxiway. We're going into Kilo taxiway. And until next time, this is Tim May for Awesome Ward. Thanks for listening to the Tim May Podcast. We'll see you next time.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.